You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. Here is a thought as we begin. Maybe this will be useful to you, maybe not, but it is where I am right now. Time kind of doesn't have an economic meaning at the moment. I mean, yes, days go by, the virus spreads, but this economy, or really big chunks of it anyway, is shutting down. And if the economy is shutting down, does time have any economic meaning? Which, even as I say that out loud, I understand it's a little bit bleak, so let's not go there, shall we? Let us deal instead with what is right in front of us, which is, and I think this is the technical term, economically unbelievable. Neela Richardson is at Edward Jones. Kate Davidson is at the Wall Street Journal. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
So, Neela, let me start with you on a cell phone, obviously, for appropriate social distancing reasons. I heard you, I think it was CNBC this morning, right?
That's right, yes.
And you said at one point, we have not yet figured out what the worst of this is. Discuss.
Well, if you look at the most recent batch of economic data, it's all been pretty good. I mean, we've gotten really bad data out of China, but domestically speaking, the U.S. labor market looked strong in February, and those initial conditions were strong and in place. But over the last 2 weeks, we've seen a complete deterioration in the normal course of life. The fact that we're all sitting in these home offices, not going to bars and restaurants, not going to movie theaters, not going to sporting events, not traveling, not going on cruises, has a huge economic impact that we haven't seen play out in the data. And we haven't seen play out in terms of corporations' earnings estimates. Right. Right. For this year. And as that data rolls in, we'll have a better understanding of the real toll, not just the human toll, which is great, but the economic toll of this pandemic.
Kate, we got a number from Goldman Sachs either yesterday afternoon or today. Their latest estimate for GDP, I would say growth, but GDP collapse is really the number. First quarter was like -6% growth or something. And then second quarter, which is the quarter that starts on April the 1st, they're predicting, Goldman Sachs is, the guys who study this stuff there, 24% to the downside on gross domestic product growth. What do you even do with that number? How do you wrap your brain around it?
Yeah, it's like talking about the federal debt, right? $23 trillion. Like, what does that even mean?
Right.
We can't. It's really hard to, I think, understand and translate and even anticipate what that will look like. I guess it looks like literally everyone staying inside their houses, you know, yeah. Like Neela just said, no one going shopping, no one going out to dinner, nobody going on vacation. It's just the everything grinding to a halt at once. You know, we think back to 2008, 2009, yeah. And a couple weeks ago, people were making comparisons to that. And some people were saying, you know, that's really, we're not there yet. And it's just quite amazing how in 2 weeks, everyone's thinking, not only are we there, but it's a very good chance it'll be worse than that. And then, obviously, a lot of that downturn was spread out over many months. Yeah. And this is just happening instantaneously. And so I think that's where you can, when you think of it that way, you kind of see where that dramatic drop off, you know, how that can happen.
Right, exactly. So Neela, talk to me then about that duration part of it, and specifically as it relates to the $1 trillion bailout that is being bandied about on Capitol Hill. This is, of course, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell's bill, $1 trillion plus maybe a little bit. Last number I heard was that it was $1,200 to individuals and $2,400 for a couple, which in Los Angeles will not cover rent, let alone help things stabilize.
It's a step. It's going to be, time will tell, and you say that time is uncertain and time has no meaning, but time will tell whether this is actually impactful for the economy. I mean, this was tried during the 2008 financial crisis, giving some kind of funds to households. What happened is that a lot of people just ended up saving that money. The more targeted the funds, the more impactful they are. But if people can't go anywhere and can't spend it on anything, it's going to be hard to see how that money goes back into the real economy. And yes, unless it's targeted for people to help pay basic living expenses like the rent. Even in Los Angeles, maybe half the rent.
Yeah. Kate, let me ask you this. And I know the answer before I ask this question, but why is Congress and the White House dithering on getting this done? I mean, we can see the damage happening in real time.
I think they're just trying to catch up. I honestly think, you know, as I was saying a couple weeks ago, people really, even though you could see it in China, then you could see it in Italy. I think, again, it was just so hard to grasp how real that was. And so we heard plenty of people saying 2 weeks ago, you need to pass something to send checks to people right now. But there was this view, and there's still a view to some extent that, right, targeted relief is important, sending stuff to people who need it most. But now I think that the conversation is shifting a little bit where, right, Congress is kind of dithering a little bit. You know, I mean, they're moving quickly for Congress, but they're dithering a little bit over, you know, making sure we don't give this to billionaires and millionaires and people who don't need it. There's a growing chorus of people saying, just send it and we'll figure that out later. We'll claw that back through taxes. You know, when people file next year, let's not wait. Let's just do this.
Kate Davidson at the Wall Street Journal. Neela Richardson at Edward Jones. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thank you, Kai.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.